Cocina Studios, episode number 322, Houston Wrestling Radio. Is this Chris?
I'm Travis.
Yeah, Travis is here. I can't touch him.
No, you can't. No. Don't ever get near me again like that. That was a nice intro, man. Sweaty son of a bitch. Yeah, I was primed and ready to like give you shit about the intro because I just figured, you know, Abel does the intro, at least when I remember it. He put some spunk in it.
Some chutzpah.
Chutzpah. That's the word he used to like use. Yeah. And I was ready for you to fail and drop the ball within the first 5 seconds. You almost dropped it. I'm not gonna lie. Yeah,
fumbled it a couple times.
You did. You did. You rebounded. You're good. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. All right. Appreciate that.
Yeah. And this show's all on you, buddy. I'm just a passenger on the road trip to where are we going?
WrestleMania.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Can't get you out of the house for nothing, can I? God damn.
Okay.
Oh, man. So we're on the road to WrestleMania.
God help me.
Woo.
I'm with this guy.
But I drive fast.
You do. Very, very aggressively and scary.
Yes.
Yeah.
Brings back memories when you were younger.
Yeah.
Those Fast and the Furious days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I had an Integra once.
I know.
It was fun.
Yeah, I'm reliving those days now. Enjoying it while I can.
You do, yeah.
I do what I can.
But people didn't tune in to listen to you mess up the intro or us talk about cars. What are we here for? What's going on?
We had the Elimination Chamber a couple of days ago.
We did.
Right here in Houston, Texas. Yeah. And it was actually a packed house.
It wasn't. It was, like it was not a packed house.
Me in the arena, there was not curtains. Now, if you were blind, you couldn't tell because that crowd was sitting on their hands for a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm very disappointed in you. Hey, I tried my best. I'm just one guy. Like my nephew. I coerced my nephew. We're just one guy with the voice of like five guys.
No. I was watching the pay-per-view at home with our friend Scott from Scotland.
Ooh, I missed that.
Damn. You did. You missed a hell of a time, my friend. So that was one of the first things that he pointed out to me. He's like, look at all those seats. Granted, that was the opening segment. So we figured, people still just, you know, we're Houstonians. They're lazy. They'll get there eventually.
We'll get there.
No, by the main event, it was still, hey, look at all those rows of seats.
Really?
Yeah.
I saw fillers. Beefy Joe, our friend Eric, he and his group filled up a lot of seats that were on the hard camera. There were three, he was two sections away from me. So there must have been a lot more.
Now, what does that mean to other people? Nothing.
Not a goddamn thing.
Because I'm telling you, as a viewer on the network, I saw empty seats, my friend.
I will take your word for it because usually...
I'm right.
Cool, because you're white.
Yeah.
But usually, I will go back and watch the pay-per-views that I attend to live to hear the commentary and to get all the angles. And I just didn't for this one. No. So...
Well, don't worry. You missed a lot of missed angles and camera shots along the way. So
I missed the banter of what could have been if Renee Young was getting all over Corey Graves for banging Carmella.
No, not a word. Although my wife did notice that he was not wearing his wedding ring.
Mm.
So not that I care.
So you're
about
telling me
that.
There's a chance.
Yeah. With who? Corey?
Well, have you seen the E30 documentary? Corey's wife's pretty.
Oh, no. I'm just saying, Corey's he's a pretty man. He's one of them pretty boys.
Yeah. He's the girl in the relationship.
Yeah. She is the wife is the one that called him out on everything, so I don't know.
Oh God. So enough of the E segment of the night. What was your lasting impression coming out of the pay-per-view besides the silence? Most silence.
My overall thoughts on the pay-per-view itself?
Yeah.
Eh. It was there. It was fine. It wasn't bad. But
it didn't blow you away either.
No, surprisingly, because Elimination Chamber match, the main event was good. We'll get to that here shortly, I'm sure. There were some title changes that I thought were rightfully deserved.
Mm-hmm.
Righted some wrongs, I thought. You want to get into the women's Elimination Chamber?
The floor is yours, man.
Yeah. What was okay? So you were there in person.
Yep, Elimination Chamber.
Okay,
where every view is obstructed.
Yes, yes,
every
yes.
seat is obstructed view.
What? So live being there, what could you see in the ring with all those with all the bodies in there?
So I was sitting on the second row on the corner that's right next to the entrance. Mm. So my general direction of the Elimination Chamber was right on the pod mm-hmm. where Naomi and Carmella were.
Yeah.
So it was a good view.
Yeah.
If I was watching, if I went there for that. But I went there to watch wrestling.
Or if you're Corey.
Or if I'm Corey.
Yeah.
But I went there to watch what was happening in the ring and outside the rest of the chamber, which I couldn't do unless I did this.
yes.
Which I did quite a bit during those both chamber matches. Some of the spots at time felt a little weird.
Yeah, I'll save you some time.
Sure.
It was sloppy. The whole match. It just...
There were only two face teams, and one of them was in it like for a cup of coffee, like Naomi and Carmella. Like they came out of their pod.
You know why they didn't last very long? It's not Naomi.
Yeah, they came out.
Although didn't her husband? Well, no, her husband just won a tag team title. I was gonna say her husband was arrested mm-hmm. over the weekend, but But no, here's my thing about what kind of just kind of blew me off of this match. The ending with we have obviously new women's tag team champions, which in Sasha and Bailey,
the Boston Hug Connection.
It's boss time. Yeah. Okay. So they won, but I was thinking in my prediction before this match ended was a heel team. And I knew it was going to be Nia and Tamina because I figured they had other plans for them, or at least for Nia. So I was thinking Mandy and
Fire and Desire.
Yeah. They got a name. They got, and they've been kind of pushing them a little bit heavier on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured, look, if it's, you're establishing new champions, what better way than to have heel champions to brag about it? First of all, to brag about it, see how good they are, to get people to want to see them get beat, and have the faces chase them for it.
Mm-hmm.
But they went with the obvious route of Bailey and Saucer.
So it's... So it's obvious that they're going with what happened on Raw. They're going with Bailey and Sasha against Nia and Tamina.
Even more pretty. And that's another thing. I want to talk about that for just a second. Following up with their win, I don't know what any of their promos were after their win or on Raw, because every time Bailey gets on a mic, I fast forward it. So whatever they were saying, I don't know.
But then every time Sasha got on the mic, she was waiting for the crowd to chant, "You deserve it," which took up a lot of time.
Stop it. Stop. But my biggest gripe on that whole thing, especially on Raw, was I knew when they started talking, a team was going to come out to start some whatever feud. I was so hoping and thinking logically that it was going to be a SmackDown team.
Yeah.
Because I thought since it's an interpromotional title that you would want to have your initial feud to showcase the fact that, hey, we can have a team on Raw, we can have a team on SmackDown fighting for the same titles.
This feels like the when they first unified the undisputed title in 2002, where it was Triple H and then The Undertaker and then it was The Rock, and they were all on Raw, so all the feuds were on Raw, and it took Lesnar winning the King of the Ring to be number one contender, to that when Lesnar won the belt from The Rock, Stephanie was like, "Oh no, baby, this is SmackDown guy. You're not seeing him on Raw." So it felt really weird that way, and I was hoping, just to your point, that it would be ambiguous. Like, it wouldn't be tied to either brand, or at least it wasn't made clear to me that since Raw's 5 hours long every week, that you need to have another title division in order for this for you to watch 5 hours of Raw. And no, it just felt like, oh,
it doesn't feel like I need to see this. It just feels like, okay, they just put props on them, on Sasha and Bayley. That's all it is.
And that's where I'm thinking too, is like, did this entire, just to go off on a tangent.
Oh, I love tangents. They're fun. Go for it.
I've been a proponent for the most part that...
It's boss time?
it's boss time. That the women have been close enough in the last 2 to 3 years to a lot of the men.
They're getting God bless them.
I'm at the point where I'm in the equality boat, regardless if there's other people that are far behind.
Hmm.
So even now, a year and a half into this revolution, I'm already sick of first time ever this, first time ever this, first time ever this. If you don't let the action speak for itself, you're not giving it the opportunity to earn the credibility that it deserves. And it feels like even now that we're getting Sasha and Bayley against Nia and Tamina still, I wonder why did we bring these titles back in the first place? I don't think you needed the titles on Becky and Sasha and Bayley. If the idea is to turn one of them on the other, that it would have made any more less of a difference.
I don't know if y'all been talking about this on the last few episodes, last couple episodes, but on Raw the last couple of weeks, like Sasha's been getting hurt during the match, and like Bayley's had to finish the match by herself. I thought they were going somewhere with that, but apparently
and they still could. I'm gonna take a shot in the dark. If we're getting this at Fastlane, I've got the faces going over still. I would think if they put the belts on Bayley and Sasha is to try to solidify the team. So I would have them go. And Abel cringed the first time I mentioned this when we first heard of this tournament.
Abel cringes on everything.
Yeah, having Bayley and Sasha go over the Bella Twins at Mania. And then the next night on Raw, Sasha pulls the trigger, or fell. Bayley pulls the trigger. Give me something different.
You know? I thought they're going with that on the trigger that was never pulled. What, a year ago
when they're in the elimination chamber.
Well, therapy and all that stuff, and they hugged it out. And
we settled things in the ring, except you two. Y'all take therapy.
Yeah, that was so that was Raw for you. Yeah. I don't know. That was weird. But I think we talked enough about.
Speaking of women,
yeah.
Which match did you prefer, Ronda versus Riot on Sunday or Ronda versus Riot on Monday?
The one on Sunday was more believable.
It was fast.
The one on Monday, I was like, why is she taking so long to beat her? I mean, I feel bad. Like, I think I told you – no, it was in our group chat thing. I said that my dark horse prediction for the pay-per-view was Ruby Riot was actually going to beat – mm-hmm. Ronda, because nobody was talking about this match at all.
Yeah,
at the very least, Ruby Riott. Nobody was talking. Nobody gave her any fucks to give.
The match wasn't even announced on television with a promo. It was done on Facebook or on the website or on the app.
And it wasn't even built up for anything. She beat the other two squad members, whatever, on that Monday, and then she was going to fight Ruby, but she...
She tended to the beat-up girls.
And that was it.
There's a time and place for that.
Yeah.
Then the next day, out of nowhere.
Okay, title match. Title match. Yeah. Like, what? But obviously, you just needed a vehicle to get Ronda in the ring on the pay-per-view. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say Ronda. I meant to say Sonya Blade. I got confused for a second. She looked just like her. I mean, she is playing the voice of Sonya Blade on Mortal Kombat.
And the face mocap.
Yeah, so I gotta say, I like the outfit.
Yeah, she doesn't have to move around.
Yeah,
the
it actually fit her. Yeah. And she looked good. The makeup wasn't all harsh like it normally is.
And if you want to make her a corporate champion, all black, could work with the four horsewomen as heels. The MMA.
Don't know.
They keep rubbing it in for a reason. Sooner or later, it's bound to happen. Not that I want to watch it right now.
No, you know what? I think they realized how shitty the other two horsewomen are. Ooh. And they said, you know what?
No. You throw you in the oven a little longer, like the Holocaust oven for a while longer. That's how long it's
going to take. Damn, we went straight to Holocaust.
Fuck yes. Have you seen the one with the nose mask? Nah. But then the whole point of the whole match was because Charlotte was at ringside because, you know, she's going to WrestleMania. You know, she got first class.
Yes. Much to the fans' pleasure.
Yeah. At one point, the fans actually woke up when they realized, hey, there's all these women in the ring, and the one woman that everybody wants to see is nowhere in sight, to the point where, you need to start cheering for her. Otherwise, they're not going to think that you care. So, they start cheering. So we'll remind people that we're here, we're alive. And, Becky came out on crutches.
You still got the sticker on your shirt, you fucking mark.
Becky came out on crutches. And
hobbled
out
there.
Yeah, got the sympathetic things.
Like, Not Becky Lynch, my friend. That was Jean Grey from the X-Men.
Colby!
You didn't notice that. Oh, in your point of view, it must look like Becky. But it was, in real life, actual Jean Grey from the X-Men.
Oh, wow.
Versus Sony Blade from Mortal Kombat. It's an interpromotional thing, nice. I'm sure. Yeah.
So is it going to be like the demon Finn Balor? Finn Balor's going to keep losing to everybody, and then we're going to get Dark Phoenix at Mania?
Demon?
Yeah. Demon Finn?
I don't know.
No? You don't know?
Is he extraordinary?
He does extraordinary things.
Oh, really? Yeah. Does he win titles?
He did.
Thank you. That was where I was going.
Finn Balor, finally. I thought it was the wrong plan.
Felt like a consolation prize. You didn't beat Brock. You didn't get the big title. Here's this one.
They didn't. Here's an example of WWE this week not really telling the story and not being continuous with the story. Finn loses to Brock at Royal Rumble. Cuts a promo the next night. Yeah, I couldn't. There was no way I could beat him, but I made him believe.
No.
Because he's an extraordinary man. He does extraordinary things. No. And he has a big crotch that they zoom in whenever there's up the ramp. And he does this thing with the jacket and goes like this. And everybody's.
They do like to zoom in on the. Yeah.
The crotchal region. Yeah. Oh, but he can take on Bobby Lashley. But he didn't beat Bobby Lashley. He beat the guy that everybody can beat.
That was the whole point. Bobby Lashley never lost.
Yeah. He got a face react. They've been building for 6 months for us how to cheer for Lashley when he finally turned face. And he was face for 5 minutes. And then the next night, they just came back together like nothing. And just, well...
Hey, look, some couples like to bicker and argue over disagreements.
And hit each other.
Yeah. Yeah. But they're
working out.
They're working out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, I know it's been like, 20 minutes. I don't have it on my phone. Do you have access to the chats?
No, I do not have access to the chat on my phone for whatever
reason. We probably should have mentioned that on the
show. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's why Abel and Arnold do it. I don't have access to it. So tonight is just me and you and me.
Happy together?
Yeah, eventually.
Yeah. I'm here, so what more do you want? Right?
Thumbs up or thumbs down on the Usos winning the tag belts?
Thumbs up. Anything to get those titles off of Miz and McMahon.
Why?
Because it's Miz McMahon. I'm sorry, but I mean, it was one thing for Shane McMahon and The Miz, which no discredit to Miz and Shane for that matter, I guess, but to beat the bar for the titles is one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Anybody could beat the bar. We'll get to that later.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Had they beaten the Usos, I think there would have been a lot more boos the next time they came around because you're at that point, first of all, it's McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised they were getting that much face reaction just in general off that because mm-hmm. it's The Miz also. I've been away from the community for a while, so I don't know. Is people buying The Miz face turn? I'm just waiting for something
I think people
to
are,
set him off and to turn on Shane.
I think people are buying the face turn today knowing what they're going to get or in anticipation of what they're going to get tomorrow, which is they're expecting The Miz versus Shane McMahon at WrestleMania. With The Miz being the heel and Shane being the face. I don't know how we're going to get to that because the rest of the authority, yeah, it's the authority. They're back no matter what they tell you. They're heels in this.
Are they?
Well, Vince, dude.
And here's another thing. On Sunday, I really can't comment too much on the match itself because it's Shane and Miz, and I fast-forwarded a little bit.
I'll help you with that in a minute. Go.
So I was glad that they lost. So it cuts to Tuesday. They're doing the promo thing, and Miz apologizes like 15 times in that promo.
Yeah.
It dragged on and on and on. And then the Usos came out to interrupt him. And I like the reason they came out. They said, whoa, you got to stop calling yourselves the best tag team in the world. You're looking at them right here. I liked all that. I like the Usos. I think they are one of the best tag teams right now, especially this whole last couple of years. It's been this change they've had. Their promo has been on fire lately.
Miz asked Shane for the rematch. Shane goes, you know, we don't do rematches around here anymore.
Right.
Then the Usos came out, gave him the blessing to get a rematch.
Did they though?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I was kind of thinking they were going to take that as abuse of power. That's what I was thinking. Oh, it's a McMahon, so he can do whatever he wants.
They've already beat him, so I don't think they're threatened by defending the belts at him again, knowing that they got the number.
Yeah, probably. You're probably right.
My thing, I'm going to try to channel Abel here because for the longest, Abel didn't want to see Shane O'Mac in the ring wrestle anybody. Then Shane and AJ happened, and then Shane and Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn with Daniel Bryan happened, and the momentum started shifting in the other direction. So he was getting a little bit optimistic with Shane and Miz and his tactics, especially because, you know, he loves the Miz.
Yeah.
I was hoping that there would be more substance to the character Shane McMahon as opposed to him just doing the typical car crash stuff that he normally would only supposed to get away with because the matches that he has at WrestleMania, at SummerSlam, at Survivor Series, they're like no DQ. So he can do all the like through the tables and all that shit. And it, I would have.
All his matches are the same though. Every single thing that Shane doesn't have a lot.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
I would have thought
coast to coast and onto the announce table.
He started doing that. It was ugly in the beginning, but it's starting to get a little better. That turnaround DDT, pop up that corkscrew little DDT he does. But he hasn't added much to his resume as far as in the ring for you to feel like you're not watching the same Shane match. And for him to pulling up all the stops like that, basically every match he does, it feels like it's taking away the shine of watching Shane McMahon wrestle. Yeah. I don't know if I want to see Shane McMahon against The Miz at Mania because I feel like I've already gotten it in the last – it's only been 4 months. He did the tag team again at Survivor Series. Then Saudi.
Is no one else – like, am I the only one that's like, why are we okay with a McMahon having a title? Wasn't this like 5-10 years ago people were bitching about McMahon? Like,
with the ECW and the do-rag like, and what the main?
Is it because people like Shane, I guess? He's got that – he's more connected to the audience than the other McMahons, I would think.
He's been consistently a face as the general manager long enough that the casual audience could forget.
He's like the goodwill ambassador of the McMahon. So, I mean, I get it, but it's just
– but it's something different when he's in the ring.
Yeah, I guess. It's like, okay, Shane's in the ring. He's going to do something stupid, and he's going to win or whatever the case may be.
I'm gonna say this again later on tonight, but I think the problem that I'm having with Shane right now is I think for the limited attraction that he was before in the last couple of years, I think he's getting overexposed and the flaws are starting to be obvious.
Yeah,
that this is why he's only a special attraction for the big
shows. I wouldn't say flaws. I would say limitations.
Yes, thank you. That sounds a lot better.
Because he's good. He's good at what he does.
He sells like a motherfucker.
God bless him. He's
48.
He's what?
48.
Yes.
And doing the shit that he's doing. You know, so it's limitations. That's the better word for it. I agree.
Oh, real quick, I do want to say
you got in.
Thanks to Porsche, she's taking care of
nice.
Taking care of the peoples over there. So, what else we got?
Kofi.
Oh, yeah. I remember that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Jamaican. ECW.
You missed a perfectly good... Whatever. I was
Jamaican me crazy.
There you go. Oh, yeah, that was an easy one. Come on. Oh, come on, Mike Adamly.
Oh, God. He was in that Elimination Chamber match with Jeff Harvey and Samoan Joe.
You know, my initial thoughts on the... the chamber match itself was because I haven't really paid attention to it going into the event, but that's a lot of really good talent. I hate to say past and present, but a little past and present with Harvey, Hardy and Orton, and these are your mainstays for WWE. Right.
Yeah.
And Kofi 11 years, right? He's been in
there. Kofi's 11 years.
Yeah. And then plus, altogether, you have Samoa Joe, AJ Styles. Again,
if you are only in the WWE universe and you don't travel, you have no idea that AJ Styles and Samoa Joe have about as much tenure, maybe more than a couple of the guys that are in that chamber.
More than Kofi.
And of course, Daniel Bryan. Again, you gotta travel. You gotta get away from the WWE universe, you know. There was a lot of experience in that ring.
Since I haven't been here on the show, I just got to say, you know what? I don't know what the overall thoughts are on the hemp belt, but I like it. There's something about it. It just fits Daniel Bryan. Like, I guess kind of like how the Cena's titles fit him.
The smoking skull fits Steve Austin. Yeah,
it works. Yeah. I'm not even mad at it, the fact that
not only does it work,
it's eco-friendly.
They've been posting after every pay-per-view, they post up the posters online for you to buy on the WWE store. But for the last month, every other day I've been on there, I'm contemplating buying one of those belts. That belt looks nice. And it's like biodegradable and everything. But you know, it's WWE, so it's probably going to cost twice as much. People are still going to buy it.
Okay, you said it was the poster?
Yeah.
I'm
waiting for the Elimination Chamber poster to hit the website so I can buy it.
It's got to be on recyclable paper.
It has to be.
It has to be.
It has to be.
Otherwise, Daniel Bryan's going to be pissed.
Then the Titantron has like the recycle triangle flip with the globe. Mm, yeah. Oh man, they completely did it. Yeah, I love it. I want this Daniel Bryan thing to go at least to Mania.
Oh, yeah.
It would be a nice story, dude, for Daniel Bryan to be coming from not obscurity, but from you got used to the fact that you would never see Daniel Bryan wrestle again. And now not only did he come back and was a main event from WrestleMania last year, he turned heel when you least expected it, and he's made this whole heel thing. Eventually, it ironed itself out to where it's like it's clean. Like I'm thinking Daniel Bryan as an eco-friendly heel.
It made sense from the jump. Like whenever they did it, it made sense. And I don't know if other people are comparing it to, but I'm getting nostalgic for Straight Edge Society.
Yes,
you know, you have heels that have righteous and they're. They have good intentions, but the way they go about talking about it is just – it's the wrong way.
Especially when the good intentions are believable. Mm-hmm. Some of the stuff that Punk was saying during the Straight Edge Society made you look at yourself like, I'm kind of fucked up a little. And seeing Daniel Bryan – Abel had this talk last week. He's like, man, I feel bad when I see Daniel Bryan there and I notice that the fucking city of Houston hasn't picked up my recycling in the last week and a half. Like, this shit's – it's driving home that some of the stuff he's saying actually does make sense. And sometimes the most believable heels are the ones where their convictions, mm-hmm. even though, like you said, they have a different path to get to where they want to go, but their conviction is worthy. And it makes and it makes
morals.
Sense. Yeah.
He has morals. It's just
his code.
It's a little skewed. That's all. Yeah. But the belt, I like it. I don't know. So I just had to get that out of there. But he won he retained the belt. And Kofi was almost looks like he was almost gonna win it for a minute.
Kofi, last minute. I wonder if this would have played out the same way. If Mustafa Ali was the one in there instead of Kofi.
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't
think because so. Mustafa debuted on SmackDown, got a victory over Daniel Bryan tag match, had a hell of a match Daniel Bryan one-on-one for the title on SmackDown. And then they started trying to incorporate him to try to get a shot and
if that was going to be the original plan and Kofi just took his spot, then I'm grateful for the injury to Mustafa. I hate to say that. I'm sorry. But come on.
He's a great guy. He's probably one of the best guys I think that have come out of 205 and made use of his
and
of his
character. I think he's like
you got Sonya Blade and fucking Sub-Zero on WWE television.
That's true. But I'm saying for the 205 guys, I want to say he's the most well-known that's come out.
He's the one that's... As good as Cedric has been, as good as his title run was, even right now, as good as Buddy Murphy's run is going right now, it's a Cruiserweight title, they don't have that exposure on Raw anymore. So if you don't have the network, you don't know who the fuck these guys are.
Mustafa Ali and Leo Rush.
Oh, yeah, Leo.
I think that's it mm-hmm. from 205, right?
That are on in the Lucha House Party. I'm not wearing any red hats.
You mean those?
But I'm the first one to say throw those three back over the over the fence.
Lucha, you mean the blurs that I see when I fast forward to the screen? Is that what you're talking about?
Those Mexican jumping beans whenever you hit the three.
Oh my god! Yeah. No, keep them and bring back the.
I can say it.
Bring back the Mexicools and have them have
lawnmowers.
Yeah, the Wandeers.
Yeah, yes. And then when they break, the wheels keep spinning.
No, still do it. That's racist.
Ah, come on. Again, I can say it. Yeah. So, Kofi putting on a Kofi putting on a clinic on SmackDown, mm-hmm. Kofi going the distance at Chamber, and mm-hmm. now Kofi one-on-one against D-Bry at Fastlane. Either Fastlane or Mania or afterwards. The way he's been presented in the past week and a half, would you believe and would you be invested on Kofi Kingston having a world heavyweight title run on SmackDown?
Yes.
Defend yourself.
I think we're going to have – matter of fact, when this match was happening and the match was over on Sunday, I told Scott from Scott that Kofi's going to fight him at Mania.
Because, I would love that.
Because who else is there? Like, he's beaten everybody. I mean, he's at least the ones I can think. Like,
well,
that's money. I got to think that's
Brian,
money.
Brian made the case, and it was, again, we always say it. We just need a little 30 seconds or something on television to tie whatever loose ends so that right. we can accept it. When Brian cut the promo on SmackDown that said, I'm not defending it against any of y'all. Mm-hmm. I beat all of y'all yesterday. I'm not worried about y'all.
Bitches.
Yeah.
He said that.
Literally. So I'm thinking, okay, Kofi's cool for Fastlane. If Daniel Bryan beats Kofi, I would think it has to be somebody returning or somebody maybe from NXT or somebody mm-hmm. from something. Like I like you, man, and it's not like the whole Impact or Ring of Honor thing where if you've been there long enough, we'll give you a run. Mm-hmm. No, I think Kofi's
he's been consistent.
Yeah.
He's like the one performer that always he doesn't mess up. You don't hear anything bad or negative about Kofi. Now, me personally, I'm getting kind of tired of the Royal Rumble thing Majiggy that he always does, but that's just me because mm-hmm. I've seen it so many times. But other than that,
and now the women are doing it too.
Yeah,
God. Yeah.
That's another story. So I would think this is going to be a weird comparison, or maybe one. WrestleMania 12, the boyhood dream.
Mm.
Kofi's been there 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
Never had a main event. The closest he's got was Orton years ago.
Oh, I still remember that spot where he laid out Orton on that table in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
If you can make it in the garden, you can make it anywhere. I guess some people took longer enough to get the memo, but yeah.
But I think he's got enough longevity and enough credibility with and he's part of New Day, which is
still over.
Yeah.
3 years.
So could you just imagine getting past Fastlane? Some kind of schmoz happens at Fastlane. Daniel Bryan keeps the title. We get some kind of rematch or something that gets him back into Mania. Mm-hmm. That's when he went. Can you imagine the celebration, a New Day, and pancakes flying everywhere and all kinds of stuff going? It's going to be crazy. Francesca going crazy. And
yeah. the thing that I come not Francesca? To, not yeah, to go. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Francesca 2 Turbo.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Not to go too far off, but Royal Rumble used to be the pay-per-view where it didn't matter so much what the undercard was because you're ordering the Royal Rumble for the Royal Rumble match. Right. So you had interesting matchups for the heavyweight title and for the WWE title.
Sometimes.
With WrestleMania, with this year, if the main event is Becky Lynch versus Ronda Rousey ending the show, if that's the money that's attracting people to watch, you can do that like the Royal Rumble. You can have matches for the titles in the mid-card, in the undercard, and throw stuff in the wall to see if it sticks because you already know what your last match is. And I wouldn't mind D-Bry versus Kofi at Mania. I wouldn't mind it opening the show, to be honest.
I'm just curious. How many episodes in a row have you said that?
Every week since November.
Becky and Ronda's got a main event.
Every week since November. I've told Abel and Arnold. And
you.
My anticipation will be at a zero if they wind up hand-fisting Charlotte in this vote.
Like, guess what's going to happen.
Guess what's going to happen. Exactly. I'm hoping Fastlane. So I'm hoping this Monday, Becky Lynch breaks both of Ric Flair's arms for his birthday. And Charlotte puts up her title shot at Mania, at Fastlane, Becky beats Charlotte, and we get Becky and Ronda one-on-one.
But she's suspended.
Well, that's where Charlotte has to go to Vince or Ric Flair to his best friend Triple H or whatever, you know? Because if they do this whole thing that Charlotte's already in, and if Becky wins, she gets added. No, there's too many cooks in the kitchen. But Becky, Ronda.
But here's the thing on that. Vince.
I know.
Because Vince.
Yeah.
Vince is the man. So when Vince came out on Raw and said, "You're not the man, I'm the man, and you're suspended for 60 days.
Shot a flag!
In all one syllable. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
But when he said that, like, are they pushing for, are they starting to tease a dissension with Triple H and Stephanie and Vince? Because they had their things settled. They're like, okay, you got
on the story, as far as story goes, I don't know how they're handling that. I think behind
the neither do they. It's okay.
I know. I think behind the scenes, Charlotte right now in the women's division is like Roman Reigns in the men's division. Like, Roman's cool as long as he's not in the title picture every pay-per-view or he doesn't hold the belt every fucking month and you don't book him as the next John Cena where he never loses. So Roman's cool on the periphery as long as everybody else, you know, and right now they're doing and they're teasing us again like they did with Roman. They're teasing it with Charlotte, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh,
Cena was like that for a while too.
And Cena was like that for a while too. Yeah.
For a long time.
So we'll see what road they're going to take, but man,
Charlotte Reigns.
Yeah. I still think as a transition, Charlotte versus Asuka 2 at this Mania,
potential.
Yeah.
There's potential with the storyline because I think they mentioned a few weeks ago that Asuka's downward spiral started when she lost at Mania last year against Charlotte.
Yeah.
Now with her being the champion going
and
to
she
Mania,
tapped out Becky at the Rumble. Yep. And she beat Charlotte and Becky beat in a ladder match to become the women's champ. And I was hoping this promo on SmackDown would be Asuka going, "Hey, I've heard for 3 months, Becky, Ronda, Charlotte. I'm the champ too. I tapped out Becky. I beat Charlotte in the ladder match. I want competition." And I was hoping that she would mention that with Charlotte. You know, just like you said, the downward spot with Charlotte started with Charlotte. I want to end it on a high note a year later and beat you at Mania, the thing I couldn't do last year. But we got something different.
First of all, before we continue, I just want to say that I'm just happy that WWE remembered that Asuka was employed. She came out with the title. I was like, oh yeah, there is another champion around here somewhere. That's who's missing.
Hi.
Yeah, thank you to WWE for remembering you have a champion on SmackDown.
Yeah.
So she came out and did a promo and ready for a challenge. Then we get Mandy.
Who are you expecting?
Not Mandy. I don't know who I was expecting, to be honest. Because, like I just said, Asuka's been kind of lost in the shuffle. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad they at least acknowledged that on the promos. The interviewer, she even said, "Don't you feel you've been kind of lost in the shuffles?" And so, yeah, they've acknowledged it. But I guess they're trying to make Mandy a thing.
Well, you look at her.
Well, yeah, I mean, she's something.
She blurs your vision.
Clearly, on the intros.
Did you?
I don't see that as a WrestleMania match or anything.
I'm surprised. It's a Fastlane in 2019 match.
Yeah.
Really. I honestly.
She's the Ruby Riott.
So when they both came out, I wasn't completely looking at Mandy. I was thinking a nice warm-up for Mania would have been Asuka versus Sonya Deville. I don't even know if that's already been happening on SmackDown because I fast-forward a lot of SmackDown also. But if that's already happened, then that's on me. But even if it did, I don't know.
Asuka has been on TV.
Yeah. Asuka versus Sonya Deville, that would have been a good Fastlane tune-up match. I would think. So when they both came out.
They've had to have fought at one point.
Yeah.
Well, at some point.
Maybe, NXT. I remember that happening.
Or even on SmackDown this past year. I mean, but, she's been on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Just because we don't see her or fast forward. through her
don't magic. Have cable. but I would have been down with it. But then when Mandy got the match.
But she had a thing for Sony anyways. I just like the fact that she was supposed to be the MMA person on Raw. Then they got Ronda and they kicked her over to SmackDown.
Yeah. Did you believe the finish with Mandy and Asuka?
Who interfered? Like, what music? There was music played or somebody. Something
Lacey happened. Evans'
that's
music came out.
That's right. You know what? If they can quit having her come in and out like that every week, I wouldn't mind seeing Lacey Evans versus Asuka.
I don't.
I like Lacey.
I don't recall a bad match with Lacey. Then again, the people that were wrestling with her were the ones calling it and just guiding her. She has a nice little gimmick, the woman's right. And I think they're just tall and attractive.
I think they're just dragging their feet on her until Mania.
Yeah.
I think, you know what? Let's transition right over here to NXT.
Oh yeah. We got 3 episodes of NXT this week. Wow, what a thunk.
Well, because Lacey was one of the initial batch.
So the initial batch.
5 or 6.
Lacey, Nikki Cross, Heavy Machinery, and Ethan Carter, 3rd. Those were the 5 people. And out of those, we've seen Nikki Cross a couple times. She's crazy with the other, with the black crazy girl. And then Heavy Machinery are out there looking
Bushwhackers
all awkward.
Bushwhackers
2.0. Yeah, Bushwhackers reboot. And then we're supposed to get Lars, but he's anxious. I'd get anxious too watching 3 hours of Raw, 2 hours of SmackDown.
No, you don't. You just fall asleep.
That too. Thankfully, though, 3 hours and 15 minutes of Elimination Chamber. So that was good. I was hoping we weren't going to get another 4-hour pay-per-view. That thing ended at Central Time, 9:15.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't mind.
I don't mind that either.
Shoot.
And by
the
way,
don't worry. They're going to make 4 at WrestleMania.
I'll make it 6. Oh, yeah. Okay. Which, by the way, quick asterisk. Buddy Murphy and Akira Tozawa in the pre-show was fun as shit, dude. And it felt like a classic WCW cruiserweight match where we're silent in the beginning, like it was for most of the night.
Yeah.
But then the crowd, you hear the volume escalate, and then by the time the match was over, it was at a boil. Like Tozawa had a couple of chances where you could believe he would actually beat Buddy Murphy. But Kenny Omega 2.0, man, doing some big things in 205.
Wait, Kenny Omega 2.0?
Yeah, V triggers and all this flying around.
What are you talking about?
Dude, Buddy Murphy. Oh. It's like the Scorpion to Sub-Zero or the Ryu to Ken. Like he does mostly the same Kenny Omega shit. You know, well, we can't sign Kenny. Let's get Buddy Murphy to do all this stuff and we'll just So
NXT?
What
are we talking about?
Yeah, NXT.
Okay, yeah.
So the initial batch didn't work.
Right. So what did they do?
They brought in more people.
Naturally.
Fuck.
They've already blew through that first whole wave like nothing. They're already afterthoughts. And now they figured, okay, well, let's get more popular people.
Let's get the people that we should have brought in the first place. Oh, but wait, they're not done in NXT. Oh, we don't care.
Bring the titles too.
Yeah. So wait, hold on a minute. You mean to tell me that Halftime Heat had how many viewers? With those guys?
Yeah.
Oh, I think we need to bring them on television. Let's put them in front of an audience that knows who they – wait a minute. Lafayette? We're having Aleister Black, Ricochet, Ciampa, and Gargano debut in Lafayette?
What's wrong with Lafayette?
You know, that's the same problem as before. At least in New Orleans on SmackDown, there's already been a takeover in New Orleans. There was a bigger reaction for the NXT guys.
Well, Lafayette's just not too far from
New Orleans. 3.5 hours. There's never been an NXT house show in Lafayette. So still, they're about as new as fucking Samoa Joe when he first came from Impact.
We had this conversation slash argument on Monday, so I guess we could rehash it for the audience here. So you said,
are a proponent of it doesn't matter where you're taping it, have them on there to see how they do.
To see how they do, exactly. Yeah. It shouldn't matter if – now, granted, to your point, it would – enhance the debuts to have like a live hot crowd, but to be honest, when was the last really hot crowd you seen? It wasn't on Sunday.
It wasn't Houston. I'll give you that.
So what difference does it make if it's in Lafayette or New Orleans or whatever? Mainly because I figured if it's a town they haven't been in. Because look, if they're in Orlando, yeah, the crowd's gonna know who they are.
If AJ Styles debuted in Corpus Christi, he wouldn't have gotten over. AJ Styles debuted in Orlando, where he'd been wrestling for the past decade. Yeah, he got over. You're going to debut NXT stars in a city that has never had an NXT house show.
First of all.
You would think, and to your credit.
First of all.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Whoa. Whoa.
Don't you ever compare any of those NXT guys to AJ Styles.
Okay.
AJ didn't have to go through NXT.
Yeah.
He was prime ready. He was on a plate ready to be served to the live audience at Royal Rumble. Regardless if it was in Orlando or not. So that I'm gonna I'm going to respectfully disagree with you on that aspect. Secondly,
you're an asshole, with all due respect. But I said with all due respect. So,
and don't call me Shirley. So when these guys, they come out, I imagine Vince, who's already kind of on the fence with NXT, the talent. I would maybe. I don't know. I'm just.
He told Triple H, "This is a throwaway Raw and SmackDown. You do everything. You
make
need
it
to do.
Work.
Get ratings. Get ratings. Oh shit! Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouPorn. Holy crap! NXT is coming to Raw tonight.
Well, I mean,
wait, it's who?
Think about it. Think about it. They did send out on Facebook and in their websites.
And what do you, since you're in the control, what do you normally do with Raw?
Oh, I fast forwarded.
When you saw DIY versus The Revival, what did you do?
Once I realized it wasn't a good match, I fast forwarded it.
Yeah, but in the beginning, when they showed that graphic, you're like, ooh.
No.
And then the first.
You, no, act like you
we both were. Okay. We both were. Right. And then when the match started, you didn't do this. You gave it the benefit of the doubt. Aleister Black against Elias. You didn't do this. Ricochet and Finn against Lashley and Leo. You didn't do this.
That was actually a good match.
And that was, yeah, we'll get to that. But for that night, it achieved its goal. We watched more Raw than we normally would have.
Well, that's the debate. Well,
more Raw than we normally would have. And to their defense, I think the most ratings from that NXT halftime was in the state of Louisiana because the Saints got hosed and they didn't want to watch the Super Bowl.
Oh, stop.
So they had an alternative to watch.
I'm
trying to rationalize it because if I had the decision, the gavel, I would not have struck it at Lafayette. I would have done it in New Orleans.
Listeners, after that comment, I don't get mad. I wouldn't get mad if you just turn this off. Just,
we tried. We gave you a good
45
minutes.
I can only defend so much, and he starts spewing out this garbage. I don't know.
Because you don't watch the foosball. You don't watch any of that stuff. You don't understand.
Look.
We'll watch Joe Kenda when we're done, and you'll be fine.
No, it's this isn't football, okay? This is wrestling, so I gotta have the rest. No, because still football fans aren't gonna be caring about what's on the WWE network.
Oh my god, this could be a whole conversation.
The wrestling fans.
Here's
the football
the, here's
fans,
the problem.
I guarantee you, the football fans aren't wrestling.
It's the Belden syndrome.
What?
Well, because I'm not from New Orleans, and I didn't suffer through Katrina, and I don't like football, so I really don't give a fuck about the ratings and WrestleMania.
How are you even getting the ratings in New Orleans?
Because New Orleans loves the Saints for everything that they've been through. They got fucking hosed. They should have been in the Super Bowl.
So what did
they
do?
Protested. So they didn't watch the Super Bowl. They didn't watch the halftime show. So they watched the
Halftime Heat's not on TV.
They got the network.
Okay, so all those people weren't going to subscribe to the network right then and there to watch it just because they don't like the...
They didn't have to. It was on Facebook.
Was it?
It was on YouTube.
Oh.
It was on Twitter. It was on YouPorn.
Well, maybe I'll shut my big mouth then. So anyway, Chris, what do we got now?
NXT on Raw and on SmackDown.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Out of all six matches, which one did you like the most?
Probably the first Ricochet tag team match.
With Finn?
Yeah.
Match of the Week candidate. Oh, we didn't even talk about that yet. That's fun. No, I have to do that.
No, fuck it.
Yeah. That was a fun match, dude. I liked it a lot.
It was a good showcase for Ricochet. And I will say, I like... There's a difference. You can tell the WWE is experimenting on a lot of stuff right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because when the first batch of NXT, they let us know we got some new people coming in from NXT, and they gave us little packages throughout the
teasers backstage, but they didn't do anything.
So what they did this time, we had Triple H who announced. He said, "For people who may not know, I have other responsibilities. I'm over NXT.
A third brand. A third touring brand. This ain't developmental, Abel." Not no more, bitch.
So when Triple H comes out
soon. But bitch anyway.
When Triple H comes out and he talks about we got some new talent coming in, and he actually showed him on the Titantron, and then they did the packages for him. On top of that, we had Michael Cole when they were coming out
doing the elevator speech.
Yeah, he was going bam 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 on all the high points on him. So I think that's a little bit more effective way, plus they're more over. There are people, I think they're more well-known. I would like to think they're well-known, but
especially when you have the history. And by history, The first time we saw Kevin Owens was during the U.S. Open Challenge, and got in Cena's face, and he was carrying the NXT title. And his debut match at Elimination Chamber in Corpus against Cena, Owens beat him. So when you see Ciampa and Gargano, two of those four NXT kids with belts.
Look at this guy.
When you see two of the four NXT guys with belts, and you think, holy shit, Kevin Owens had a belt and he was a big fucking deal. He beat Cena. They've already got that history that they could play off of, that, you know, these guys that they're bringing in, if Triple H is in the ring bringing these guys in, but they didn't. Yeah. I think the biggest letdown.
Well, let me ask you this real quick. Do you think it was a good thing or a bad thing that they put Ciampa and Gargano in a tag team match? Granted, it's against Revival, and the people that watch NXT got excited, but the match was not good.
Everything was bad. Yeah. I'll stick with yours first. Ciampa and Gargano. WWE has a tendency, whenever they bring guys from NXT to the main roster, that your identity in NXT is irrelevant. We've had Robbie Roode as one of the best heels in NXT. As soon as he showed up on the main roster, he was the face. There's no consistency when they bring these people up. So it was never stated. You know, Ciampa and Gargano, they might have just been the rebels from NXT showing up on Raw, but they're heels. If you're watching them on NXT or if you're familiar with them, they're both heels. They even cut the promo on SmackDown that we were in this building last year killing each other, and now we're teaming up with title belts. And they never established you're going to have a heel revival against a heel DIY? Because you know WWE's history with heel versus heel stuff. And then on SmackDown, which I thought was a better outing for those two, the bar against a heel team against the heel DIY.
It was. I don't think a mistake, and I want to cap that off with my NXT thoughts on here in just a second. But first, we have the tag team match with
matches
DIY against Revival, which should have been good but wasn't good. We already talked about the Finn and the Ricochet match, which I thought was a good outing for Ricochet, like I said. And then he had that little post match interview in the back. He was shaking.
Oh, you could tell, like that. Yeah, that was an honest promo.
Yeah,
from Ricochet, and you could see it in his body. You could see him on the.
My only thing with Ricochet, and I noticed this whenever he was in NXT, is as good as an athlete as he is, how can I say this with all due respect? He's not good on the mic. He's not out there. He's just kind of a normal. He's not bad, but he's not like over the top. He doesn't do anything to stand out as a character.
New Japan, you don't need mic skills.
This ain't New Japan, motherfucker.
This Lucha Underground, he hid behind a mask as Prince Puma.
Right.
And that's another situation kind of in the middle where the wrestling and the story that you're in speak for itself, to where you don't have to speak that much in its defense. I would think that would have been worked on a lot in NXT.
You would think.
And
they haven't.
He kind of deflected it with other things. For example, the promo with Velveteen Dream. He didn't talk a lot, but he did that flip out into the out into the ramp where he's like landed on his feet and just walked up to Velveteen and said,
"What's up?
What? Show me." So he did things to come to balance out whatever limitations he had on his promos. I think, and if you're starting that all over on the main roster, then he needs some work. He needs some big work. Now, if you're going to tease me that we're getting Ricochet versus Finn at Mania for the Intercontinental title, give it to me.
Yeah.
Because, again, if he's going to beat Lashley at Fastlane for whatever rematch for that belt,
what are you going to do? Automatic
rematches. I know, right? What are you going to do with Finn? You can't just – if they're debuting on the main roster, you can't tease us this and not have these guys at Mania. Kevin Owens was still defending the belt for NXT for about 2 months after he initially showed up on Raw. And he was still showing up on pay-per-views on the main roster. So you have to do something with these guys that you brought in, even though you didn't do anything with the last couple of guys and girls you brought in.
Okay, so we have that. Now I'll get to all that. I'm saving all this for the last thing I want to say. So, well, we have Aleister Black
Aleister Black versus Elias was the biggest disappointment of the night.
It didn't help. And I don't think he had a good match with Andrade on SmackDown either.
He had a decent match with Andrade, again, like Raw. When you already have the expectation of what we've seen on TakeOver, mm-hmm. and you're expecting to see not a carbon copy, but something close to it,
right.
or a cover song of that on Raw, and you don't get it, that's the same feeling I got on SmackDown.
Yeah. But on they Raw, acknowledge the, that he's fought him before.
But on, in that same building.
Yeah.
But on Raw, they completely dropped the ball, and I'll explain why. Triple H did a damn good job of introducing these four guys right. in the beginning of the show. For all the shit I like to give Michael Cole, he did a damn good job putting over each one of these guys. Aleister Black, the quickest pure striker Triple H has ever seen. We didn't see any of that shit against Elias. Elias was beating the hell out of Aleister Black. All Aleister Black did was his black mask, and that was it. Mm-hmm. He did not. What they sold me wasn't what I ended up with. So it was a huge bait and switch.
I started fast forwarding through that match.
Yeah, it was a huge bait and switch. Yeah. I got more of what was sold to me on SmackDown, and that's after taking off the blinders of, oh, man, this ain't the TakeOver match.
Right.
I know we should have gotten 35 minutes, but we got 10,
12. Well, that's what's going to happen when
they
go to the main roster.
And that's what's going to happen.
I think the only thing for Aleister Black is I think they wanted to bring him in just to get that entrance on television.
Oh, yeah.
To see what it
and they
like.
Timed both of them were timed so bad.
Yeah. Yeah. was there anything else you wanted to say? Because there's something my thoughts on the whole NXT thing.
My thoughts in a nutshell, and I've said this before, they shouldn't have done it.
Okay.
They shouldn't have brought them on.
Okay.
I think we had this conversation a couple of years ago when they first brought Brock in. And I had mentioned to you guys, you can't even get the basics right. You can't even get a 3-hour show right. You can't, you're not entertaining me with what you have now. What makes me think you'll do better with Brock when you can't even fix the foundation? Now you want to build stuff. You want to bring stuff on top of it to see if you can make it work. It obviously didn't work when you brought in the first five guys from NXT, which I would have figured those could have been the call-ups, the surprises, post-Mania that were on SmackDown. Holy crap! Fucking Nikki Cross on SmackDown the night after WrestleMania. Holy shit! No, instead we got Nikki Cross tapping out to Becky Lynch on the first night. You know, and we got all these other people, EC3's modeling backstage and doing all these gestures for 2 months before we saw him wrestle Dean. And even then I was like, oh, we're still doing this. Okay. And so now not only do they bring in more people from NXT, they bring in four of their top talents from NXT.
Does a test.
Yeah.
To see how strong that NXT brand is.
So 6 months from now, they're going to get lost in the shuffle.
Yeah.
And it's their fault because they can't get over. It's their fault Ty Dillinger can't get over when he has the perfect 10 and everybody's doing this, but you keep him off TV, but it's his fault he can't get over when he's not on TV. It's Aleister Black's fault he can't get over when he's wrestling five minutes
fair,
every
that,
other month.
That 10 thing was getting ridiculous.
Yeah, it's an example of, oh, you got over when we didn't tell you to get over, or we're gonna put you back in your place.
I don't know about all that. I'm just saying it got, even when he wasn't out there, people were doing the 10 thing for everything. It was getting
just like people doing woos for every chop, like people saying what every time somebody talked.
I mean,
exactly. I feel bad for these guys that debuted, because if they're going to be there long term, I shudder to think depending where they end up, what they're going to do with them.
Well, I'm going to second what you just said, but I'm going to add to it also.
Go for it.
Especially when we're on the road to WrestleMania, we should not have gotten this yet. As a matter of fact, I think the Raw after Mania.
It's going to be boring.
Huh?
It's going to be boring. Because they blew their load already.
Well, I was going to say, yeah. Roll out for Mania, Invasion.
NXT Invasion?
Yeah. Gargano even said it, like on SmackDown.
We're here to take over?
Yeah. Okay, just blew that line, just wasted that line. So now you can't do that.
What?
So, well, yeah, I mean, you could. Triple H is like, we're just here testing the waters, but now we're here to take over. Or whatever. You can spin it any way you want. But I think maybe the night after WrestleMania, we might get more of an influx of NXT or something. I don't know. Especially if he said it's a third brand. That's either a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know yet. But because anytime they go on the main roster, with your few exceptions, for the most part, they get lost.
Yeah.
fast.
I would start night after WrestleMania, ending Raw with the Undisputed Era. Just wrecking shit. Just wrecking shop.
Yeah.
And then have NXT guys come out in the following weeks, building up to like NXT versus Undisputed Era. And then it turns out they're all together in it.
Oh, so
like swerve it. Yeah. So and that's how the invasion starts. You see the four guys and you think it's just the four guys. Oh, wait, they're here to take their kids back home to their parents. Oh, no, it's all of them. Oh, fuck.
No, it's the WCW invasion, yeah. What you just said.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole argument is if they had all the good talent from WCW back then, it could have worked.
Yeah.
So maybe there's something there. If they have the right talent. Now, if they have the creative to actually do that, you get the blueprint for it, but whether it works or not, I don't know.
So speaking of NXT, match of the week candidate, Ricochet against Adam Cole.
Oh, was that on NXT? I didn't watch NXT, so.
That was pretty good. Ricochet actually sold for the most part until the very end where he just beat the shit out of him. You've been watching Dijakovic on NXT?
I know he's there. I haven't seen
him. He had a pretty good match against Shane Thorne from the Mighty Don't Kneel, TM61. His partner, Nick Miller.
He said TM61.
Yeah, with the Mighty Don't Kneel. Yeah, TMDK. Nick Miller, he was given his release because he wanted to be home with his family. His wife had just had another kid. So Shane Thorne's there by himself as a singles wrestler.
I like that because for the most part, when a tag team guy goes out, the other guy just has to twiddle his thumbs until he's back. So I'm down. Anytime you see a tag team guy going singles because the other partner can't perform, I like that.
So. Not to be that guy.
No, Lord. You're going to be that
When I saw – when I hadn't heard of the Mighty Don't Kneel before they showed up on NXT. I knew of them, but I never saw them.
You did.
I've never seen their stuff in NOAH in Japan. I didn't see any of that stuff. Well, I didn't know them.
Well, I guess we saw them at the local stuff.
Yeah, we saw local stuff. From the moment I saw them as a team – I always thought Shane Thorne was going to be the Shawn Michaels to the Marty Jannetty. So I was not in a negative way, but when I saw that Nick Miller had went back to his home in Australia and Shane Thorne stayed on the roster, I was optimistic for it. And my optimism just went up tenfold watching him lose to Dijakovic. That was a fucking good match, dude. I would recommend if you have 20 minutes within the next week.
I don't.
Which you won't. Yeah. But anybody that has the free time that hasn't seen it yet, go back and watch that match. It was really good. As far as match of the week, fuck it. The men's chamber match.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
It was cohesive. It was good. Everybody played their role. I mean, I could be the Joe guy and be pissed off that Joe again was the first guy eliminated.
You know I'll laugh at you.
I know. Right. Yeah.
You probably hear me from the arena.
Oh, yeah.
I think I texted you, LOL.
Dick. But everybody played their role. We could be getting AJ versus Orton because this is twice in a week that Orton's RKO'd AJ and eliminated him.
Oh.
And I think maybe there was one SmackDown, and that's it. We've never really gotten a rivalry between AJ and Orton, so that could be fun.
Could be.
But overall, it told a good story, and towards the end – I got hooked. Like I would have believed and I would have accepted Kofi winning the title against Daniel Bryan. You still have Fastlane to fix it if you wanted to put it back on Bryan before Mania, or if you want to save it for Mania and have Kofi win there. Either way, I think that's my pick. Match of the year.
No. Y'all still do that?
Yeah. We don't have one so far. And we had 5 pay-per-views in January. And we still don't have a match of the year yet.
Really?
So far, yeah.
You are slacking. You're supposed to have like 15 already.
I know, but I don't know if Arnold liked it, but Abel kind of appreciated it. I'm killing all that shit. Like I take everything into consideration that we would do at the end of the year up front. So if I don't feel I'm not gonna have fucking 19 matches like last year and fucking watch 9 hours of wrestling and then record for 4.
What do you think I quit?
Exactly. Yeah. By the way, your check arrived in the mail for showing up to the podcast tonight. So. Cash it while it's still good.
Why is it handwritten in crayon?
We can end on a pop culture rewind note unless there's anything wrestling related you want to talk about.
I think I was going to mention something about this NXT stuff here. The reason why they tend to – this isn't just an NXT thing. This is just a wrestling thing in general. I don't know how this is going to play out because I haven't rehearsed this in my head yet. But I think – people forget that there's a difference between wrestling and WWE. Mm-hmm. And when you see wrestlers on a wrestling show that's not WWE, they have a certain expectation. This is going to be a match. Mm-hmm. That's it. There's no storyline into it. There's no nothing. But you're going to see them go out there for like 30 minutes to an hour probably.
And they're going to win you over every time. Most of the time.
So you do that. You see these guys wrestling like that. And then they finally get signed on to WWE or whatever, even NXT for that matter. And the expectation is there. And then WWE doesn't start doing anything with them. And then people get in the hissy fit because their favorite internet darling person isn't getting over. But here's the thing. And I can see that. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because of Ricochet. Because Ricochet is an amazing talent.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't say he's extraordinary. But he's pretty. He's a one and only, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
However, to actually take it up the next step, he's gonna have to do something, and I don't know what that is. It's gonna have to.
He's gonna wear a cape. He's a superhero. They said that a lot about Ricochet on Raw and SmackDown. He's a superhero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But here's my thing. The reason I'm bringing this up is because the. Without a character or without storyline or some kind of personality, you can only see the same flip so many times. Like, we've already saw in a span of 2 days, we've seen Ricochet's moveset twice.
Yeah, we've seen everything.
Yeah. What else is there other than keep doing that same thing?
It's funny because Matt Riddle on Twitter or something, he compared NXT as professional wrestling and WWE sports entertainment. To where you're going to have that problem where guys that go into NXT, even though you're learning from in the WWE umbrella how to sell certain things or how to speak a certain way or look at the camera a certain angle, in NXT you can still do New Japan, Ring of Honor, TNA, independent wrestling, and get over and have sellout shows in arenas that Raw can only get like 40% of people and SmackDown only 10% of people. And you get a lot of viewers on the network, but as soon as you get to the main roster with a general audience that isn't watching Raw or SmackDown for professional wrestling, they're watching it for sports entertainment.
Right.
It's a completely different beast, which is why because I don't know if you know this, they're doing an international superstar shakeup the week after WrestleMania in Montreal.
Okay.
I would like to see if NXT is going to be that third brand that Triple H talked about. I wouldn't have guys going over to Raw and SmackDown. I would have NXT as the show to cater to professional wrestling fans and have Raw and SmackDown for the children that like sports entertainment. Because this feels like a kid's show now to me. A lot of it does.
Well,
the main roster stuff.
I don't say it's a children's show, for God's sake. But
And UK, NXT UK, keep them over there. And if you're going to do another performance center in India or Dubai or in China, keep them over there. Keep everything separate. Because if you start putting things together.
So in your idea like that, if you do that, if you have your NXT as the super indie fed brand.
WWE's indie fed, yeah.
And you use them to get over like that where it's just a wrestling show, not a sports entertainment show, then have that expectation that if they do go to the main roster – then it's not going to be the same performer that you've been seeing on NXT.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't do that. I mean, realistically, it's hard to. Yeah, it's hard to because you have a different audience, I think. I would like to know. I don't think there's any way of even getting these numbers or anything like that. I would like to know the percentage or whatever of casual WWE fans who just, out of curiosity, subscribe to the network and get the pay-per-views. And maybe just for the pay-per-views. And then they also, on the downtime, maybe flip on NXT every once in a while. Mm-hmm. Compared to, like, how many hardcore wrestling fans subscribe to the network for the NXTs, the UKs, all the tournaments and everything else that they have. It'd be interesting to see, you know, what how the fan base breaks down.
Well, yeah.
You know? But and that's just something I've been thinking about lately. Is just, like, people always get – all People get out of shape. They get their hopes up
when you see an NXT guy on the main roster expecting to see what you saw there.
Right.
When you don't get it,
In that aspect, in that regard, I do wish that WWE would call a spade a spade, and if it's not working out in the main roster, send him back to NXT. And I think
send new blood to NXT.
Something. They used to do that. They used to have the WWE guys go into NXT and
Curtis Axel, Tyson Kidd, Cesaro.
Damian Sandow.
Sandow was there.
Because I remember when I was watching NXT on Hulu back before the network, it was so weird because NXT was like this own little thing. You had guys from the main rosters over here in storylines and feuds that had nothing to do with the main roster. I was like, wow, this is really interesting. And
that Tyson Kidd against Neville?
Yeah, that kind of stuff just kind of died out and just I don't know. But
Natty versus Paige? Was it Natty versus Paige?
Probably.
Natty versus Charlotte. Yeah. With the daddies in the corner. I remember that.
Yeah, but that was when they first debuted on the network. Mm-hmm. I'm just talking about before that.
Yeah.
It was
still going on even before.
And it was just a commingling of the rosters that had no bearing on Raw or SmackDown. And it was refreshing, I thought, because it was a way to get a spotlight on the mid-card guys that just didn't do anything with them on the main show. And I think that was when Tyson Kidd first went back, and that's when we got the resurgence of Tyson Kidd.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Let's end it on a question mark.
Oh, God.
Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Probably down.
Chris Hemsworth, that's Hulk Hogan. Let me repeat that. Chris Hemsworth, Thor, the almighty Thor, is going to be in a Netflix biopic as Hulk Hogan.
That's the WTF news of the day. Like, I saw that. I was like, okay. I don't know what to think about that, to be honest. I'll have to wait and see on that one. You? I mean, I don't know.
It's on Netflix. A guy like Chris Hemsworth,
I can't even say he's got the body for it because it's a totally different vibe. I mean, different
type of style. How does a Hulk Hogan documentary starring Chris Hemsworth end up on Netflix? Or a Paige documentary with a nobody to me. If she's an actress in shows that I don't watch, that congratulations. But to me, I don't know who this Paige chick is. I have no incentive to go watch this movie. And it's an independent film because Hollywood didn't want to produce it. Right. Yet it's not at independent theaters. It's everywhere. It's in Cinemark. It's in Regal. It's in AMC. Because all the trailers on Facebook that I've been seeing about this movie, the first 20 seconds of it doesn't have Paige.
Hmm.
As The Rock.
Yeah.
The few scenes of The Rock actually in this movie as the people's champ, The Rock. So that's what how they're trying to sell this movie.
That's the only reason it's getting to the theaters.
Yeah. The limited release numbers were actually pretty good for limited release rooms. But I don't see this. Well, Total Diva viewers might go flock to this as a chick's night or date, maybe.
We're the wrestling fans that you're just watch everything. I mean,
that too.
Yeah. I mean, you got an audience for it, but I don't see it being
a bigger deal than it seems like it wants to be.
Yeah. It's going to be a flash in the pan in the theaters. I mean, it's not even going to be a big deal, but it is what it is, man. Yeah. Cause I think it's The Rock's production company that's funding it pretty much. Yeah. So.
And the director for the biopic, the Hogan biopic, he's the guy that's currently doing the Joker.
So far, all the Hangover movies, he did those.
Ooh,
but
yay and nay.
He's doing the Joker movie right now. So once he's finished up with that, then I guess I'll get started on this one. But I'm hit or miss on Todd Phillips. I hope he does good on the Joker. But
DX in the Hall of Fame, thumbs up or thumbs down?
Oh yeah, that was a thing. Yeah, sure. Why not? I guess I was their little loophole to get China into the Hall of Fame. Yeah. Hey, whatever works. She's a Hall of Famer now. You can say it, right?
Finally, well deserved.
Yeah.
Regardless of really what you find when you Google it.
I really thought that this year was going to be just China as an inductee.
So since you mentioned that, is it hindrance, well-deservedness, half-assedness that it's China in the group as opposed to the eighth wonder, former women's champion, first ever woman in the Royal Rumble, first woman to be Intercontinental Champion? basically the role model of a lot of the young women that are wrestling right now.
Backhanded compliment of being in the Hall of Fame. Maybe. Maybe she can go in again. Ric Flair's a two-time Hall of Famer, so it's possible. Shawn Michaels, I think this makes him a two-time Hall of Famer, right?
Could be two-timer for Bret Hart if they wind up doing the Hart Foundation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has there been any other news for Hall of Fames this year?
No. So far, they announced this one because the tickets go on sale this weekend. Pre-sale's already going on. The Hall of Fame actually this year is interesting because they switched the days since that Saturday that's a Hall of Fame was supposed to be the night for NXT TakeOver. Mm. But tickets went on sale 4 months ago for the Ring of Honor New Japan show at Madison Square Garden that sold out in 45 minutes. And since that wrestling fan base already has the Saturday taken, they wound up moving TakeOver to Friday and the Hall of Fame's on Saturday. Mm. So Saturday is going to be the ceremonies with DX, and I don't know who else they're going to have.
I just heard a bunch of words coming out of your mouth.
Yeah. Any guesses on this
for Hall of Famer? For Hall of Fame? Well, shit, they already got Kofi. I mean, not Kofi, Coco Beware. So once you get Coco Beware, what else can you do?
Can't get any lower.
I don't know, man. I had to think about that one for a while.
Did they want that one?
Because I don't know. I can't think off the top of my head who's already in there. He's not in there.
There's one the last couple of years that I've been leaning on that this year, hell, this year could be the year. Mm-hmm. Jushin Thunder Liger. Cruiserweight division in WCW when it first started. A lot of wrestlers that currently in the roster now that used to wrestle in Japan. Hell, Liger came in for that takeover against Tyler Breeze. They're
randomly.
Randomly, yeah. But they're tied and bringing back the Cruiserweight division. They could tie that lineage together. They could easily have Jushin in there.
Yeah. So I wouldn't be opposed to that.
Neither would I.
And lately they've been – well, not even lately, I think. They don't necessarily stick with WWE guys.
Yeah.
Sting before
– hell, Billy Gunn's getting inducted this year, and right now he's on an AEW contract.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Yeah. So, man, that's a show. That's it.
Wow.
What'd you think? It's good. Got it. That's it.
I'm done.
That's it. We're done? Okay.
Yeah.
We're done. Adios, my friends. Keep it classy. You sure you don't want to talk Walking Dead?
Why?
It's been good, man.
Walking Dead's been good.
Yeah. You got the Whispers face to face against Alexander. No. Hilltop. Hilltop? No. I forget what all these places are. So many.
Just the fact that the kid needs to die. Like the little punk teenage boy is going through puberty. He's trying to get into the girl's pants. Yeah, that one he needs to. He's gonna come.
They need to kill him before he done fuck something up.
Yeah.
Oh man. But they're building up to the season finale. I'm assuming is the carnival.
The what?
They're building. They've been building up to the carnival. Yeah, we need to have normalcy. Let's show that everything's back to normal.
Carnival.
Yeah. Oh, you haven't been reading the comics.
Fuck. Why? No.
Oh, okay. You're gonna like it.
Well. Good. I don't know about all that.
Well, we'll see. Michonne's leaving. Yeah, Rick's
coming. I called it last year. Yeah. I said it. You were there when I said it.
Yep.
I said Marvel money. She got that Marvel money now. She's out of here. Guess what they announced this year? Bye-bye.
Yeah. Would you write the character off the storyline, or would you recast the character to keep the original story going?
Oh, recast who? Michonne?
Michonne.
No, kill her off.
Kill her off?
Yeah. Okay. She's lost her purpose anyway, so.
Because Rick's gone and Carl's dead and the baby's already more
She's been relegated than she to the girlfriend for the last two or three seasons.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I'm done with that. And on that note.
Top guys! Out! Fuck the revival.
Yeah.
Okay, bye. Yeah.
This world's like a cage, and I don't think it's fair. And I don't even think that anybody cares. It'll eat a hole.
Yeah.
There we go.
Holy crap.
Holy crap. Hey. Holy crap.
Yeah. Is this Houston?
This isn't where I left my car.
You're safe now.
I'm safe? Okay. Yeah.
This is the show. We're starting?
All right, we're starting. Here we go. Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Pop Culture Rewind. I'm your host, Travis. Just like that. Well, eventually he'll come back here. And tonight, we're going to be talking about Alpha. As in, not wrestling. We're talking game. We're talking Walking Dead.
No, stop it. The joke's dead.
The joke's dead? Okay, fine. Yeah,
what
fine.
Show? What show is this?
Okay, fine. Finally, episode number one of Wrestling Relapse. Oh, yeah. This is Chris.
This thing.
This ain't working
either? No, this ain't working
either. Okay. One more time.
Nice try, though.
Nice try. Look at that. One of these days, y'all are going to hear what we got.
5 years from now.
I know, really?
Maybe.